the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family.
Oh, believe me, I give gratitude to all of my struggles and challenges every day, because absolutely, I would not know what I know and be the compassionate, kind, intelligent plant energy healer that I am today. I mean, it's made me so strong and so wise, and I'm so grateful to all of the teachers and plants that have helped along the way, for sure.
Welcome to the Herbalist's Path, where we're on a mission to inspire a movement where there's an herbalist in every home, again, with your host, clinical herbalist, Melissa Muttersbaugh.
I am so excited today to have Miss Brooke Acroft here as a guest. She is a fellow herbalist and healer and medicine maker with Soul Sister Earth Medicine, a Reiki practitioner. She lives really close to me in Sandy, Oregon, kind of the closest town to me with multiple stoplights on the way from Portland to Mount Hood. And we even went to the same herbal school. That's actually where we met. I was teaching a class on business for herbalists and how to do it. And she was one of the students there. We both went to, it was Portland School of Traditional Western Herbalism when I went. Now it is Vital Ways, run by Christopher Smaka. And he really brings on some of the best herbalists out there to learn from. So it was a great honor for me to be there. And it's a great honor for me to have you here today on the podcast, Brooke.
Oh, the honor is all mine. Thank you so much for having me, Mel.
Did I miss anything exciting in the intro, or will it all come out in our chat?
I'm sure it will come out, but yeah, herbalist, healer, health guide, it kind of all molds into one. So yeah, I think you did a great job. Thank you.
Awesome. Again, I'm super excited to have you here on the show. And I'm excited that we connected, because we herbalists are a special breed, especially when we decide that anybody can be an herbalist, right? All of our ancestors were herbalists, and we all have access to plant medicine. But the people that really dedicate themselves and their lives and their souls to the practice of herbalism and helping other people live better lives through plant medicine are a pretty magical breed. So I'm really excited to have another one of us close to me in this community.
Same here.
What made you become an herbalist? How did it happen for you? I'd love to hear how that happened.
Oh, I definitely was not born into it. I am from the East Coast. I was born in a large city of Philadelphia, and then moved at a young age to like a suburb of Philadelphia, which is kind of right over the bridge in South Jersey. So I definitely grew up like a suburbanite city girl. So the herbal plant life sort of lacked in my experience for a while there. Yeah, herbalism and just plant healing came to me kind of through multiple avenues. But I kind of had this sort of like chaotic upbringing. You know, there was just like a lot of unstable energy in my home. Not that it was the worst, but it definitely was kind of challenging to being an empath. You know, I was always sort of absorbing other people's energy very strongly. So kind of like coming from that, my like nervous system was always very sensitive and sort of shot. And I ended up kind of developing panic attacks super early in life. Like I was 18 and working at this ice cream place when I had my first panic attack, and it was super scary. You know, I didn't know what it was. My hands were kind of cramping in and I was seeing black and about to faint. It was super scary. I mean, I thought I was like dying, you know. I didn't have any idea what a panic attack was,
right?
You know, and didn't understand the energetics of like someone's nervous system and like how to heal that. And, you know, I just never had like a guide or kind of any knowledge or wisdom given to me about how to calm your system. So, you know, I was experiencing all this trauma and I had a lot of anxiety back then, and this panic attack started to happen. So, you know, that was the first of many health issues. And I was way too young to be experiencing anything like that. And even like, I remember going to the emergency room because again, I didn't know what was going on. Like I called my mom and my boyfriend at the time came and picked me up and took me to the hospital. And they basically were like, yeah, you're too young. This was a panic attack and you're too young to be having these. Here's a paper on how to deal with it. And, you know, just being young and just confused and scared, I just remember thinking like, you're going to give me a paper, a 2-3 sheet paper on like how to breathe or whatever. I just remember being kind of like offended and not heard or like maybe taken care of the way I needed. And you know, that sort of led to just year after year all of these other health issues. Like I had developed kidney stones, you know, in my early 20s, and I had hormonal issues. You know, so I have PCOS, polycystic ovarian system syndrome. Mm-hmm. So my menstrual cycle was out of whack and had hormonal stuff, and that developed into gut issues. So it was like kind of like one thing after the next. And then discovered, like, I always had joint pain, and there were years and years of me going to the doctor and telling them something is wrong. I like my knees are giving out. Like I can't even like do simple yoga poses because my wrists hurt so bad. Like I was experiencing a lot of muscle weakness and joint pain. And every single doctor I went to was like, you're young. They just did a normal blood work. You know, you're young, you're healthy, you're fine. Kind of like made me believe it was all in my head. And for a young woman with anxiety, mm-hmm. already, that just, again, I just didn't feel heard. I didn't feel believed. And those are not feelings to make someone feel good or help them heal. So I kind of just started Googling stuff. I got into, I learned transcendental meditation, and I got really close with my teachers who taught me how to meditate, and they kind of took me under their wing, and I was working for them for a while, teaching people about TM and how it helped me. You know, I was experiencing like I lost a friend and a former partner and my father, all very tragically, within like a 2-year span. So I had these health issues, and then I had the emotional distress all kind of rolling into one. And then thank God I found TM. Because one of my transcendental meditation teachers kind of introduced me to herbs, and mm-hmm. she knew a lot about aromatherapy and kind of taught me certain essential oils to use for like my joint and muscle pain, and also to help with stress and relaxation. So I was very interested in it from that point on. And I just bought some books, and my brother was also a gardener, and he was making plant tinctures, which I didn't even know what a tincture was then. I'm like, what is this stuff you're keeping in your closet? And he talked about the moon cycles and starting the tincture with the moon cycle. And I was just so interested, you know, and I would take some like mint plant tinctures that he had. And between the support system that I had with meditation and kind of opening the spiritual doors, that sort of led to herbs and learning more about plant medicine and plant magic and healing the body naturally, you know, because everything I was doing going the conventional Western medicine route, my experience, like it wasn't helping, and right. No one was really listening to me. And I had this like deeper, I just had always had the intuition that there's something else there. And yeah. I am not one to dismiss or deny, you know, modern medicine. I think right. It does save lives, and it's there when we need save it. Mine. And right. And I'm never one to bash it, but with my particular experience, it kind of led me to a more holistic, natural way to treat my ailments. And then, yeah, it just kind of the spirituality and meditation led to Reiki, which led to plant medicine, which led to Vital Ways, you know, attending the school we both went to. And wow, did that change my whole idea of what herbalism was. I mean, I went into Vital Ways thinking I was going to learn about different medicinal plants and, you know, how it heals this and that. And it's like, nope, you got to change diet, lifestyle, sleep patterns. I mean, you know, the content that Vital Ways delivers and the teachers that Chris brings on, like you mentioned earlier, it's like, wow, I just gained so much wisdom and I just was overwhelmed with how much I actually ended up learning.
Yeah, and it's just been growing really, ever since. Really powerful program. And, you know, I've been thinking this is what you have to say is really interesting. And I think that so many people today can relate to that feeling of not being heard and the desperation of like, I know there's something wrong with me. And I go to the doctor and they're telling me there's nothing wrong. And, you know, after years of having people come to me and say, oh, Mel, I have this going on. What do you have to fix me? It makes me want to write or talk. And I might do a podcast about this on like why herbs don't work. Because, you know, sure, there are herbs for acute situations, but when people are coming to you for deeper things like joint pain and like anxiety and all of the other things that you were dealing with, like skin conditions and getting sick all of the time or irritability or just being tired all of the time, there are herbs that can help in the acute moment. But if you can really dig to the root of that whole problem, that's when you get that true healing. And I think that's really amazing. So I'm grateful, as much as I, you know, it may sound crazy to some, but I'm really grateful that you went through that trouble and pain, or you would have never gone down this path, right?
Oh, believe me, I give gratitude to all of my struggles and challenges every day, because absolutely, I would not know what I know and be the compassionate, kind, intelligent plant energy healer that I am today. I mean, it's made me so strong and so wise. And I'm so grateful to all of the teachers and plants that have helped along the way, for sure.
Yeah, I would love to hear, you know, you spoke first about the anxiety, and I know that that is something that so many people in our world today suffer from. And that sounds like the door that kind of opened you up into this world. And I'm wondering which plants either called to you or that you were interested in that really helped to address specifically your anxiety. How did that go?
Totally. Yeah, I think the first ever plant I researched on my own for my anxiety and the first ever plant, medicinal plant extract that I tried was lemon balm, Melissa. Mm. She's still one of my favorites.
Being a Melissa, I'm a huge fan.
I know. That's why I gave you that little smile. It is a special name for many reasons. Yeah, I just was, you know, it was deep into my research of healing my body and mind naturally. And I went to a local health food store back east. And that was just like calling. It was like my heart center, my brain, intuitive brain was just kind of gravitating towards this lemon balm. And I looked it up on my phone right there in the store. And lo and behold, it was like, okay, like reduces stress, helps with anxiety, helps with sleep, even like, you know, tummy stuff. I mean, you know, lemon balm is just like, you know, boosts cognitive function too. I mean, it was just like kind of everything I needed. And it was like, you know, it suggested to put it in the water and I drank it twice a day for like a week or two and just noticed, you know, without even really knowing how to like deeply intuitively connect with an herb, I did.
Yeah.
And I just noticed the like tone of my day and just my thoughts, it had changed drastically in a very positive, calming way. So that was like my first plant that really called out to me and the first plant I ever really worked with. And God, I still work with, especially after the year we had, you know, yeah. We had such a between everything that happened in 2020 and continues to happen, it's like one of my special best friend plant allies that I use on the regular.
I definitely use her for so many things, from immune system to nervous system to the gut to cold sores, and so much more. She is truly, truly, truly amazing. And her taste is delicious too, which is bonus, right?
Yeah, it's like you can have that in a tincture and it still be pleasant, you know. I love, love, love. I mean, it's so funny too, because I have once had a healer tell me that the plants we tend to need most are growing right outside our front door. And each place I moved was like a different plant, but it was all kind of like around the same realm of, you know, stress, anxiety, like gut help. And lemon balm is definitely one of the plants that grows in my front yard. And I'm just like, yep, I always need you. Yep. You're always here.
She's there. She's a good friend to have around. That's for sure. That's awesome. So once you started in that realm of like, holy cow, this natural world is really helpful, the meditation is really helpful, and that meditation guide or teacher started showing you about plant medicine, where did you go from there to learn more?
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas, you don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the TM kind of led to more like energy, spiritual realm. And that led for me to learn Reiki and be attuned to Reiki. So I kind of went on that path. And I feel like through Reiki, I was just on this constant research mission of healing and just all the different modalities to heal the mind, body, and spirit. So I think Reiki ultimately led me to get more connected with the natural world. I loved, you know, giving Reiki to myself in nature. And then I just started to kind of gain this new sense of awareness of my surroundings, right? So I started to pay more attention to the plants that were around me and to gaze deep into, like, you know, the center of a flower and start to notice like the trees around me. And I'd give Reiki to the trees. You know, I'm totally that like weird woman in the forest that like hugs and inhales a tree and like giving the Reiki to the tree. You know, I call it getting tree high. I don't get high on marijuana anymore. I just go out into the forest and breathe in the the energy medicine, you know, the strength, the beauty, the wisdom, the medicine of the tree and the plants around me. So I started to, through, I think, my spirituality and Reiki, I started to open up to become more aware of the plant world. And that just still with all, I had health ailment after health ailment, and I was deep into this online research and buying books and reading up on plant medicine. And then, oh gosh, talk about divine timing. I mean, Vital Ways. I lived in Portland, Oregon at the time, and there are so many amazing herbalists and just apothecaries and people in the plant healing world. So I just met different healers, you know, through the fairs I did with Reiki, and just kind of got more information and help and guidance, and then kind of just stumbled upon Vital Ways through my online research. And it just spoke to me, you know, the website spoke to me. Chris Smaka, who runs it, called me.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, it was just like, so, I just felt heard and seen. And from day one, before I even signed up, I mean, he was just so open and gracious with his time. Like, I remember even apologizing. It was like 7:30 at night and he was calling to talk about the school, and I could just hear his love and passion for the school and plant medicine in his voice. And he wanted to hear my story, and he expressed how important it was for someone on the specific health journey as I was on to know this, to know this knowledge.
He's so right there.
Oh yeah. And like, you know, it was just, it's just such a funny story with Vital Ways, because talk about divine timing. I mean, I swear to you, Mel, like, I, each month, you know, because we meet once a month, it just, you know, it's great. They have such a flexible schedule. It's awesome. And each month I was dealing with a health issue that we were learning about.
It's so funny how that works. I love it. And then you're like sitting in the lessons and you're like, this is so relevant to me right now. It's really amazing.
And I, you know, there were times where I felt bad because I feel like I was always the one like raising, like I always wanted to be in the hot seat. You know, he does this thing where he asks if somebody wants to volunteer and be in the hot seat and talk about, I'm like, I will always be in the hot, I got all of this going on, you know, like, so I was just always the one asking all the questions and probably drove my teachers crazy at some point. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. And that just solidified that I knew I was in the right place at the right time. And just, I knew I had to be learning this for myself. And then I am a strong believer that my own journey and the reason why I kind of went through everything I did is to help others. And that's what I do. And honestly, I can't think of anything better. I'm so grateful.
That's awesome work. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about what you do and where you do it and how you do it and who you help.
Yeah. So I just started this year to, because I finished the second year of holistic herbalism at Vital Ways, I kind of had like 2.5 years where I just learned a lot.
It's a lot.
It is. And, you know, just, you know, I highly recommend the program to anyone, but it can be overwhelming because it's just so much information. So you really have to take the time to study in between classes and, like, you know, make your little monographs or take note cards, whatever it is your style of study.
I also think it's really important to understand that learning herbalism is a lifelong journey. And no matter how many books and articles and what have you have thrown at you, you're going to need to refer back to them again, you know, to really, really absorb it and utilize it and practice it. But
yeah. It is a never ending journey for sure. I mean, I think the Rosemary Gladstars of the world are still learning. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like it is a lifetime and we'll probably never know all there is to know.
I love that about it.
Plants. Me too. I mean, I just naturally have a curious mind. I always have. And that's what I love about herbalism.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of offer both Reiki and or herbalism and kind of holistic health guidance separately or together. I love combining the two because, you know, Reiki is, it's energy work. You know, you're tapping into the energy systems of the body and it's such an intuitive, like intimate experience. So I love being able to intuitively read someone's energy in the body. And then the herbs kind of like come, you know, without sounding too woo-woo, the herbs sort of like come in through a Reiki session, like which herbs this person needs. And then of course it's not all woo-woo. Herbalism is very specific and you have to know the person's health history, right? Root cause methodology does not take place in the modern medicine world. So, you know, with herbalism and the work that I do, I mean, it is like a multiple question worksheet that we start off with. I need to know when symptoms happened. I mean, we do journaling, recording of like what they eat throughout the day. We go over everything from sleep patterns to stress reduction to exercising. I mean, it's not just one herb fixes right. all, you know, it is a total lifestyle change. And I think the Reiki really helps gently guide someone on a journey that can tend to feel overwhelming at first, you know? So I kind of use both the energy work and my science nerd background and plant knowledge to help people heal awesome. Through whatever they're going through. And this is, you know, people come to me for all sorts of things. I mean, from neck pain, back pain to emotional issues or trauma. I mean, the list goes on. Reiki and the plants can really help with anything. So yeah. I get all kinds of people with all kinds of issues.
Yeah, that it's so true that they can help with so many ways.
And now it's time for a quick word from our sponsor, The Herbalist Path. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. Anyway, if Brooke's story is resonating with you and you've been dealing with some health issues and concerns of your own and you just can't get to the bottom of it, I wanted to let you know that I do have a 4-part workshop series where you will gain the knowledge, the resources, and the tools to actually be able to heal your own body from the inside out. It's essentially the same process that Brooke went through and I've gone through as well. It's incredibly empowering and it will leave you feeling amazing. If you're interested, I have a link in the show notes or you can head on over to theherbalistpath.com/healyourbody. See you there.
I wonder if there's one or two particular realms that you feel you have the ability to impact somebody's life with the most. You know, like, do you do cancer care? And do you, you know, I hear trauma and emotional issues and things like
yeah.
that.
I always like to say, I feel like I have a PhD in trauma and grief because I've been through so much of it.
Life experience.
A lot of it is life experience for sure. And just knowing how to understand someone. I think that's a big piece of what I do. It's listening to what this person's going through, understanding that what they're going through is real and awful and difficult. And it's just holding sacred space for that person and listening, really deeply listening to them and their story. And then just being there for emotional support and doing the energy work I do and having the plants come in. I mean, I love sipping on tea with someone, you know, as they're like crying about whatever emotional issues. It's just such a beautiful element to add into that healing space, the herbs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say grief. I have a lot of experience. And sort of specialize in grief and trauma, like loss and things like that. But like I said, people come to me for all sorts of things and I feel like I've helped everyone some way.
How do people find you for that kind of help?
So I am on, you know, kind of all the social media platforms. I have a website. My website is www.whiteriverhealings.com. That's the name of my business. And then it's like whiteriverhealings.com, Facebook, White River Healings, Instagram at White River Healings. I tend to be more visible on Instagram. Facebook mm-hmm. is a little overwhelming for me. I know that I need to be better with it. I don't know. After this past year, the online social media platforms have gotten a bit overwhelming, but I am on Instagram the most, and I have a link tree to my herbal shop, mm-hmm. which is Soul Sister Earth Medicine. Yeah. That's the herbal brand. So yeah, I have a link on my Instagram, and the link to my herbal shop is also on my website. So
what kind of herbal products do you make? Sorry to interrupt you there. I just got all excited. Oh, herbs.
Not at all. Like you, I formulate three different teas. So mm-hmm. I have like a stress tea, a brain boost tea, and a sleep tea. Kind of just the three main ones there. I do herbal body oil. So mm-hmm. I do a solar infusion. So I do one moon cycle with St. John's wort and calendula oils are my two. They're like my two best sellers because I mean, gosh, we could do a whole podcast on like herbal body oiling and how just beautiful and gentle yet super powerful and potent the herbal body oiling is. It's just such a beautiful practice to just like, it's just such a great form of self-care to just lather your body with St. John's wort oil in times of stress, or even just like right before bed. I tell people to put it on the soles of their feet. It really just helps settle the body mind in and just actually brings these beautiful dreams every time I put on the soles of my feet before bed. And just calendula, you know, I know you've mentioned in your most recent post that I'm like, oh my gosh, Mel just like reads my mind all the time. But the calendula oil, right? I use it every morning and evening like you do. God, I had such terrible acne. I had, you know, when I was dealing with the gut issues, I had horrible, horrible acne. And calendula, oh, it's just been such a loving, beautiful friend as well, and really has helped with skin stuff and taken internally. You know, I threw calendula in a bunch of my tea and just totally helped so much with my gut stuff. So yeah, the oils I put a lot of love and Reiki into, and do the solar infusions with the plants and sell those. And I have like, you know, just a salve, a cottonwood bud. It's one of my favorites. I have a cottonwood bud salve. So I have like roll-ons, teas, herbal oils, stuff like that.
Yeah. And people can find that online, and you do the Sandy Farmers Market or the Mount Hood Farmers Market.
Exciting. I love it. I love it so much. I love that community. I'm so grateful to be here and be a part of it. I love just that like one-on-one. Yeah. I feel like I just shine best in that way. And I just, you know, I answer everyone's, all these people's questions. And I love talking about plants and
it's how so I make
my
fun.
Medicine. It's, it's my favorite thing, you know.
It's, oh yes. I've done it for a long time and I love it. I don't really do farmers markets anymore, but that connection you get to make with people is really, really exciting and beautiful. And you get to educate people and they're always so mind blown and so grateful for it.
I know. And
it's really beautiful.
I love it. And it's healing on both levels. You know, it's healing for me just as much as it is for them.
Yeah.
You know,
I always love fed off that energy. Like, oh, thank you. You know, while it's exhausting because it's a lot of work, but the energy is really fantastic.
For sure. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about your gut stuff, and I wonder if you can share with some of our listeners some of the main things you did to address your gut healing and gut stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I mentioned earlier, and as you know, it's not just one herb fix all. I definitely incorporate herbs in my gut healing remedy. Yeah, I did a lot of like calendula. I did a lot of plantain. Gotu-kola, I feel like really helped too. So I definitely incorporated some gut healing herbs. Lemon balm definitely was in there. But I also had to, you know, it was so bad. I had to do the low FODMAP diet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chris helped with this. Christopher Smaka, the owner of Vital Ways, you know, he was like, you have some IBS patterns and you need to do the low FODMAP. It's like I had to eliminate all of these things from my diet. And it was really hard because I'm Italian and food, we just overeat. Right. We express our love through cooking and feeding people all the time. And I love, love, love to cook. I love food. And I definitely was using it far too long as an emotional aid there, trying to self-medicate, which it wasn't self-medicating at all, but I was overeating because I was so anxious, or, you know, that definitely was an emotional issue there. And I used food to kind of help calm me down. But I ended up overeating. And so I had to cut basically dairy, gluten, and sugar. Sugar really does me dirty. Yeah. Sugar and alcohol. I also used to be just, I mean, I literally come from a long line of alcoholics.
Me too.
On both sides, my mother and father's side. So that was something I really had to eliminate. And I'm so glad that I did. And that was really hard for me for a while, but I did it and focused on the diet, just did what I teach and guide clients of mine. You know, it's like, you got to journal everything that you eat and how you felt after you ate it. So I had to take out grains and lectins and just like all of this stuff that, you know, I loved, and cheese and bread, you know, it was hard, but, it helped. I did the low FODMAP, and I was doing the herbal teas and tinctures and really focusing on stress management. That was the biggest thing. And luckily I have the Reiki, I know TM, I have all of these healing modalities that I just made my priority, you know, every day I woke up and I meditated. I made sure I did yoga. I made sure I got some grounding time outside. Just a simple 10-minute walk out in nature is enough to just calm your nervous system, right?
Even
you know,
with
I mean,
all
there's
the
literally
herbs,
science on this now.
Yeah, even with all the herbs out there that I know to use for the nervous system, that nature time is hands down my absolute best medicine.
I probably would have to agree. Yeah, between that and meditation, for sure. That's something I tell people. That's like the first thing I suggest, because everybody can do it. Mm-hmm. No one's gonna say I can't go for a walk around the block. Like, yeah, you can. Everybody can do that. And it's such a huge piece in just calming our nervous system and grounding our energy. So I made sure I was doing that full time.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of my stomach issues were stress related. So I fixed that. I took herbs for sleep and really focused on, you know, calming my system down before bedtime. And so it was like all of these things rolled into one, and that healed the gut stuff.
Yay. Are you still on the FODMAP diet or?
No. So that's the thing. I took all of the gluten, dairy, sugar, grains out for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed I could have a little bit of each, like those first few months after I incorporated the 2 months of it out. Mm-hmm. I noticed I could eat a little bit, but if I ate too much, I would have the IBS symptoms again.
Right.
So I'm now at the point where I can eat those things in moderation, but I do tend to stay away from dairy and sugar. Yeah. I mean, I'll have like cheese in a sandwich or something, but I use like almond milk, coconut milk.
Right.
But a little bit, like, you know, it's summertime. If I want some ice cream or something, I'll just get like a small kid's cone. It's all about moderation. If you're dealing with tummy stuff, it's all about taking it out first, healing your gut with herbs and stress reduction and the right workout routine and whatnot. And knowing your constitution, right? Like, you have to know whether someone's dry, or if their constitution's dry, or if they tend to be hot or, you know, cold. You have to kind of understand your body's constitution and work with the right herbs.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I love that. It's a great story. And it's really powerful, because I think that, again, so many people will reach out to an herbalist and expect this, like, give me that instant fix pill, because that's how we're trained in our society. You can't blame anybody for thinking that, because that's what we're given all life long. And what you're saying is, like, you had to go through some actual work, some internal personal work. You had to let go of things that had been making you happy for so long to get to a true state of health and happiness and the ability to help others. So it's really cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to talk a little more about herbs, and we talked about lemon balm, and maybe this is your plant you want to talk about, but what if there were one herb — this is a tough one — but if there were one herb that you would recommend everybody knew how to use and knew about, what would it be for you?
Yeah, this is so hard, because it's like asking what my favorite song is. Like, I can never do it. But I'm like sipping on some of my Brain Boost tea, which has Gotu Kola in it right now. Mm. And I don't know. Gotu Kola has really been calling me lately, especially just for this time in our world that we're all in. So I actually want to recommend Gotu Kola for everyone. I mean, it just does so much. It helps with cognitive function. It helps our cardiovascular system, our nervous system. It like literally cleans our tissues and clears out toxins, like helps build collagen. I mean, it does all of these things. It's like this master herbal ally. And, you know, on an energetic level, like I mentioned, this time we're all going through, there's a lot happening. And it just gives this like calm clarity and wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like boosts your cognitive function. It gives you a little lift, but it's like a calming, get deep into your body. Chris Smaka calls it monk in a mug. And I love that. It's like exactly what it is.
That's perfect. That's great.
I'm gonna have some,
That's awesome. How would you recommend people bring Gotu Kola into their lives?
I was taught that tea is the best way for Gotu Kola. Like there are specific herbs, which I would recommend like a tincture, but I mean, overall, I would say the best way to communicate and to take in a plant is to just eat it like raw, just like, hello, like connect your heart space with it, connect your intuitive brain to it, thank it, kind of look into it, observe how it looks, how does it feel just by sitting with it, like meditating with it for a minute or two or longer. Lord knows I've done it longer. And put it in your mouth and taste it and and connect with it right from the source, you know, right from the earth, right from the heartbeat of our mother, and sit with that. Sit with that in your mouth and taste it and observe how you feel. Paul Bergner, who is one of the teachers that came along for Vital Ways, he had an awesome way that he taught us to, you know, when you're first working with an herb, to get the tincture of that herb and take half a dose and sit with that. See how it makes you feel for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Just see how it feels in your body. What's your mind doing? Where is it touching you in the body? What is it doing? Then take a full dose 10, 15 minutes later and then really see how the medicine kicks in. And he says to work with it for 3 days, like do that for 3 days. And you may get something totally different on the third day than you did on the first. But I thought that was really great wisdom. And I did it. And I love that way as well. But, you know, my number one recommendation is, get out, meditate with that plant and put it in your mouth, taste it, feel it.
I love that. I think put it in your mouth is like, that's got to be some like little tagline slogan somewhere on the social media when it comes to herbs. I think that's great.
I do too. I love that.
It's so funny. And what I also think is great is Paul Bergner. He has definitely been one of my most impactful teachers over the years. And he's absolutely brilliant and incredibly experienced at healing thousands upon thousands of people. And he's really great at training other herbal clinicians and such. I would love to hear from you, who have been some of your most impactful human herbal teachers, not just the plants, not to put just in front of the plants, because obviously they're amazing and powerful, but who have been some of your great herbal teachers and what reference makes them great? Sorry.
For sure. I love your respect for the plants. Like you always have them in mind. You're so great. But yes, Paul Bergner's definitely up there. I mean, you know, we had to do through COVID or whatever. He came on through COVID. And gosh, I like had these moments where just the way he teaches like clinical herbalists. He just has such a powerful way. And he, like me, is another storyteller. And I just love storytelling. I think storytelling, our stories are anecdotes, right? Like they are so healing in themselves. And he always had a powerful story. And I literally had to take myself off Zoom several times through his teachings because he made me cry. Like, you know, and I get these like psychic cries where whenever I cry, I know that that is really powerful information or wisdom, whatever. And I mean, like three times through, I had to turn myself off and like go cry. He's incredible. I love Paul Bergner. Jillian Stansberry is super amazing too. She is another, brilliant. You know, Just like this plant spirit medicine, like she, oh gosh, and she's so smart. Yeah, she's just
so smart. She's got the plant spirit medicine, but yet she's a brilliant scientist.
She is an amazing scientist. I know that's like, yeah, probably just a dent in what she can do and teach. I mean, Rosemary Gladstar, the fairy godmother of herbalists, she was kind of like one of the first.
Yeah. I think she's like everybody's first, right?
Yeah. Like who doesn't say Rosemary Gladstar? Right. I mean, Stephen Hare Buhner, I mean, Matthew Wood. There's a lot of, I don't want to say new agey, but kind of more modern herbalist that I really like. Amber Magnolia Hill is one of them. Mm-hmm. I really think you'd appreciate giving her podcast a listen. Amber Magnolia Hill, she's in Nevada City, California. She has this podcast, Medicine Stories.
Nice.
And I think she's just a really powerful, honest, open voice for anyone, but I think she's really catching on for the younger generations, like this new generation of millennials or like
nice
herbalists that are, I think she's great. And I also think another person to add in the newer this generation of herbalists is Seja Popham. Mm-hmm. He has an amazing book that he came out with last year called Evolutionary Herbalism, where he just connects astrology and the four elements and everything, you know, psycho-spiritual to the plants. And it's just very, you know, and he quotes like Jillian Stansberry and Paul Berger. You know, he had a lot of the same teachers and mentions them in his book. So I really like all those people.
Nice. What do you think makes a great teacher in the world of herbalism?
Yeah, what makes, I mean, you know, I think obviously someone who has had clinical experience, mm-hmm. I've learned that that's very important because you can easily read whatever from out of a book, mm-hmm. but you can know everything that a book tells you about herbs or, you know, a number of herbs, but to have the experience, like the actual experience of like working with someone one-on-one and actually healing an ailment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think either having healed yourself with plant medicine or I think a clinical experience is important for making a good herbalist or yeah. And just someone that you feel connected to and you know, and sense has the passion for it, like you know what I mean? Like every time anyone talks to you, it's like you light up. You can tell you are someone that seriously loves science and herbalism, and your whole expression, everything changes and lights up, and you really, really feel and sense your passion and love for it. And I think that's so important for making a good teacher. You know what I mean? You like have to feel that it's real, and you definitely do with people like you.
Yay.
And everyone I mentioned.
Yeah, there's a lot of great herbal teachers out there. And I think that's one of the beautiful things. That was one of the things I loved about Vital Ways is the ability to learn from so many different teachers, because it's an art and it's a science. And there's so many ways that it can be expressed and utilized and practiced in life. And that is so much of the beauty of it, I think. So
100%.
Really, really cool. Do you have any favorite herbal books that you think somebody that's just beginning on their herbalist path might need to know about? Like if you were just starting and take yourself back to those days, what book do you think either was the most impactful or you wish you had right then?
Right. That is a great question. And that is another hard one to answer, but this isn't even necessarily a book about like, you know, like an herbal encyclopedia or something like that. And there are great ones. Like there is like, I think it's called, it's like under here. Yeah. Herbal Medicine. It's an Encyclopedia of Herbal Medicine, mm-hmm. by Andrew Cavalier. I hope I'm not butchering his last name. That's a great one. If you just want to look up an herb and see, you know, what it does and like how to maybe make it in a medicine, that's just great to flip through because there's like all the herbs in there and it's great. It could be overwhelming, but if you want to focus on one herb at a time, I definitely recommend that book. That was more in the beginning stages of my journey of herbalism. But the one that just, gosh, calls out so strongly, and again, it's not a specific herbal encyclopedia or anything like that, but I'm sure you've heard this a million times too, but Braiding sweet grass.
Yes, I have it. I haven't finished it though, because I get into it.
Robin Wall Kimmerer, I mean, she's a professor, she's a scientist. She, I mean, if you want to understand, you know, reciprocity and indigenous wisdom and a multitude of plant knowledge, she definitely throws a few plants in there that she talks about and like goes over the sciencey, nerdy stuff about the plants. But you know, and she also just has these beautiful stories, and yes, she's just an incredible voice. And yeah, just teaching about reciprocity and how we have to give as much as we take and how important community is. Like what we talked about earlier is just, that's why I love herbalism, because it is such a strong, beautiful community of people who just want to help. And
the best people, the best people. It's really so nice. Yeah. I get to go to a live herbal little conference, mini conference. I don't even know that it would be called a conference, but herb camp next weekend. And I'm just so excited because the feeling of being surrounded by so many plant healers is the most beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah, it's down at Oshala Farms, which if you don't know of them, I get a lot of my herbs from them. They're really beautiful.
Yeah,
people.
I know, I've heard of Oshala. I will definitely look into them more. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Oh,
that's fun.
So exciting. Yeah,
and chills for you.
I need it.
Just thinking about it.
So excited for it. Awesome. Brooke, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. And I feel like we could talk for days and days and days and days. So we shall, right? We're so close to each other. But that's beautiful. Are there other things you want to mention before we wrap it up for people listening to this?
I don't know. I think just thank you to you, and again, your love and passion for this field and for educating people. I mean, having an herbalist in the kitchen, again, that's such a great motto. I mean, it's so important. You know, everything you teach and preach, it just deeply resonates. And thank you for being such a bright, beautiful soul, full of energy. And
you're going to make me cry.
Really, it's touching. And it's just, yeah, it's great to have you close by. It's great to have people like you around, and just knowing that, yeah, our community keeps growing and growing. And I do just, yeah, maybe perhaps want to end with the fact that, like, I feel it and I see it all around. There are more and more people being called to the plant path, and I'm so grateful for that. And it is exciting to see, and it's wonderful to be a part of a community that teaches about how wonderful and amazing, powerful and healing the plants are. So thank you for having me on, and thank you for continuing on with the mission, the good work that we do. It's an honor, really. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to have you here and to hear you in your space and sharing your story and being vulnerable with that, and then sharing your healing magic with so many others. So it's really a piece of all of our journey. And for me, it's like my duty. It's my calling to share this kind of stuff. So having brilliant people like yourself on here is really beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Right before we take off, I just want to talk about where people can find you again. I'll link it to the show notes for sure, but your White River Healings on the Instagram primarily. You do a lot of fun posts of your beautiful adventures around the Mount Hood area. So it's so gorgeous where we live. We're really so blessed in that way.
We're so lucky.
Yeah, White River Healings, and then Soul Sister Earth Medicine, which is exciting. If anybody's visiting the Mount Hood area, Friday nights, 3 to 7, they can see you at the Mount Hood Farmers Market in Sandy.
Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah, that runs till October. The Farmers Market runs till October. I'll be there every other Friday. Yep, 3 to 7. Go to my website, White River Healings. I think you covered it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Brooke. Let's go for a hike soon.
Please. You're the mom. The ball's in your court.
I know.
You're busy.
I'm the busy mom. I'm working really hard to become less busy in life so that I can get back to the roots of what I really love and why I do what I do. So.
Yeah, holler at me anytime. I'd love to.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
This has been The Herbalist's Path. Thanks for joining us. Have we piqued your herb curiosity? Are you thirsty for more? Well, then check out the show notes of today's episode for exciting educational opportunities, workshops, and courses. If you'd like to support our mission, please subscribe, rate, and review to help others find us. Together, we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. Wishing you all a lovely day. Bye for now.
Take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need, and of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.